when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. This is Rand Owens. I'm standing in for Eddie Miller today. Eddie's up in New York, going to run the New York Marathon tomorrow. So he allowed me to sit in and discuss Christian identity. And I'm joined by Jason Robb and Michael Tubbs. And they have been doing a whale of a job, I tell you. If you missed it, be sure to go back and listen to the archives when you get a chance, if you're just joining us. And we may be joined by Jason's dad, Pastor Thomas Robb, a little bit later on, or maybe in a few minutes. So what I would like, I don't want to get too off the topic, but election. But let's talk a little bit about election and what do y'all think about God's elect? Michael, you want to talk about that a minute?
Well, I'm not sure if I have the same understanding as everyone else, but Christ's sheep hear his voice and follow him. And when does a sheep become a sheep? A sheep becomes a sheep the moment it is conceived and it is born. I like to think I was one of Yahweh's elect from the moment that I was conceived, and he knew me from the foundations of the earth. I think that all of our people fall in that category. Some have just not awakened yet. I'd like to hear what Jason has to say on that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Michael. I think, our people, the Israelite people, our people, the white race, who we identify that, are sheep. That's why God loves the sheep, and that's why Jesus has always been considered the shepherd of his sheep. And his people has always known their shepherd, and our people have always known Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus was our kinsman redeemer. And so when we talk about the elect, we're talking about those people, the white race. People might have different interpretations of the elect, as far as that word itself. But I agree. I think that's a very specific identification to a racial people, our people. And so that's how I would interpret the elect. I mean, sometimes the elect are those that are that have a special, maybe a role in God's plan. But most time when talking about the elect, it's talking about our people.
Good deal. Well, I understand Pastor Thomas Robb is on the line with us. Jason, would you continue and introduce your dad and kindly give him an introduction and let him just take off and continue whatever he may have on his mind on this topic?
Sure. So Dad, I know you just came on. For those listening, this is Pastor Robb, who's my father. And Dad, we have Mr. Owen, who's orchestrating this show here, and we have Michael Tubbs of the League of the South on as well, both identity followers, and we're talking about Christian identity. And knowing, you've been a Christian identity pastor for over 50 years, You know, we have a church here and ministry. And so that's something obviously really deep in our heart as far as evangelism within our people. And so the question here was about the elect. What's your thoughts about the elect as far as our people, or is elect maybe for those that maybe have a special role within the white race, or do we consider the elect God's, or Jesus' sheep, our people? So I don't know if that all makes sense or not, but we're kind of just talking about that in itself regarding Christian identity.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I just came in the middle of the conversation, as you say.
We don't want to give out any false election results
here, because we don't want to be caught up in a conspiracy that we're denying the election. What election? You talking about the election of 2016 or 2020? That election? Or?
No. We're talking about the elect, as far as in the Bible, you know, our people being the elect, you know, as special people
I think it's plain that God chose Abraham and Sarah, and he made a covenant to them and then to all their generation. So to me, that's the elect. Any attempt to alter that meaning, I think you're playing gymnastics with Scripture. I know some people try, well, elect are only certain ones been chosen to accept Christ, and everybody like Calvinism, which I think is, I don't want to offend anybody, but I've made a lifetime offending people. So I think it's kind of foolish to think that anyway myself. I think you'd like to refer to Israel, God's covenant people. The only people he made a covenant with, he didn't make a covenant with Negroes, he didn't make a covenant with Chinese people, he didn't make a covenant with people in the Philippines. In fact, over 200 times in the Bible, it refers to God as the mighty God of Israel. Not once did it say, I'm the mighty God of the Philippines, or the mighty God of Zulus or Pygmies. And that doesn't even include times in which he refers to himself as the King of Israel, the Shepherd of Israel, the Mighty One of Israel, so on. So to me, I think elect referring to Israel. I know some people, like the Calvinists, may disagree, and that's fine. To me, I'm not going to make an issue of it. It's just, that's my opinion.
Pastor Rob, I have another question. This is Rand Owens, by the way. I appreciate you joining us. My question is, why is it today, right now, as we speak, why is it important to know who is who, so to speak?
Okay, well, I'm gonna answer that by what might seem like a foolish answer. I don't think it is important. I think it's important to uphold our faith and make it stronger. But I think the curse upon our nation is simply because we don't love our God. We're not a Christian people. We don't love our people. I believe America was blessed from the time the pilgrims first set foot here, even prior in 1607, with Jamestown. But when the first settlers came here, America was blessed for hundreds of years and remained blessed. Up until the mid-1960s was kind of where the date I would put at it. And even though during all that time, they probably didn't have the right religion, they probably didn't have the right doctrines, they squabbled among each other what religion was the correct one. Some of them appeared maybe to understand their identity with Israel, but probably most did not. But America was still blessed, and so in my approach to the ministry is I am not attempting to make our people Bible scholars. I'm not interested in making them a righteous people. I'm interested in making them a blessed people again. America needs to be a blessed nation long before it can become a righteous nation. And the gateway or a ticket to become a blessed nation is that we reaffirm our Christian faith, even though there may be doctrinal differences in what that faith may imply or be, and we, again, love who our people are. You may not understand identity, but we still love our people. And I think that's the key to it, to become a blessed nation again. After we become a blessed nation, then God's going to send forth perhaps his shepherds and teachers and ministers and priests and help us become more a righteous nation. But first step is to become a blessed nation.
And did you, would you say that's taken out of Matthew? You mentioned those two those requirements or specifics about loving your God and loving your people. That's taken out of Matthew, right?
Well, that young lawyer come to Christ, and, you know, he probably set up by some of his buddies and say, hey, go over there. See if you can't trick him, and just to trick him on that, you know, people are. And he walked over to Christ and said, hey, Master, I've got a question for you. And Christ said, oh, okay, what's that? And he said, well, what's the greatest commandment? Hoping to trick him and saying something that would offend the people or offend the establishment. And Christ said, well, the greatest commandment is loving your God with all, Lord thy God, with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. And then he followed it right up without hesitation, near as I can tell, and said a second like unto it, which means it's just as important as love your neighbors yourself. And I know the modern world has taken that word neighbor and twisted it into all kinds of meanings, you know, but, you know, we read in Leviticus, and, of course, we understand the neighbor was your kinsman. And so I believe from that we get the concept of loving your God, loving your people, and that's was
I hear the music, Pastor Bob. I hear the music. Hang on. Coming up on our first break of we'll continue in just a few minutes.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
In the morning. It smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays, hail
welcome
to the
back
chief.
Blood River Radio program going now by Pastor Thomas Robb and Michael Tubbs continues with us as well as Jason Robb. Something that I wanted to say about not being blessed. You know, the South, we used to consider ourselves the Bible Belt. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think we've fell right in line with all the other worldly things that are going on. And just this week, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were somewhere commenting and promoting AI, artificial intelligence, and they brought up things such as to help with diseases, to help with medicine, and it was a couple of other things that they said that it was to help with. And then I'm sitting there thinking, I played it on my phone, a little clip, and I'm thinking, you know, you're turning to AI. You know, you need to be turning to God. But that's the kind of leadership that we have now. But anyway, Michael Tubbs, I wanted to bring you back in and see if you had any comments or any questions for Pastor Rob.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, Pastor Rob, it is certainly a great honor, as I told your son earlier, to be on the same program with you. I've heard a lot about you all my life, and I have a great amount of respect for you, and even though I've never met you in person, but it's certainly great to hear your words on Scripture, sir. So thank you very much for sharing those with us.
Well, thanks for the compliment. You say all your life, that makes you feel old.
Well, I am pretty old. Most of my life, I say. The time of my life when I was awakened to the truth.
Fantastic. Well, it's a pleasure meeting you also. I know that you've been real active down there in Florida, and I understand you lost your wife here about 2 years ago, and my sympathies go out for you on that, and I believe you're remaining strong and faithful, which is during that trying time.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your words. But okay. I don't know what to ask, sir. I mean, you covered it so well.
That's okay. I just wanted to mention this. It's just something else that I had jotted down preparing. It's about the seven churches that are mentioned in Revelation. And it seems that only two of those churches, two of the seven, Smyrna and Philadelphia, was totally pleasing to God. And it's also references right there in the same chapter or the next chapter after about Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, those that claim to be of Judea and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. I'd like to point out that those two that totally pleased God taught who these imposters were. And that's not talked about in any mainstream lines either. But anyway, Pastor Rob, you want to comment on that?
I don't know.
I'm going to butt in here, Dad. I'm going to butt in real quick because so we're talking about, you know, Mr. Owens, you were talking about the, you know, the revelations and the churches, you know, the last days. I know one church that we talk about. I know my father has always talked about the church, the Laodicean church. And Dad, you probably could expand a little bit more on that. But you know, that's really what's called the Church of Human Rights. And that's kind of where the age we're in now is the age of human rights, where we're all one blood. It doesn't matter who you are, and that we're all the same. And so, Dad, if you could expand a little bit more on that, since he did bring that up.
Right. Well, you know, the Laodicean church is the one that is a scary one, and that is a church that is dominating our society today, and it is the church that, as you say, of human rights. I wrote a book called The Last Church that deals with that, and as a gateway to that is this word tolerance. We are told by most churches that we are supposed to be tolerant, and our I'm going to lead into that by making another comment. One of the biggest flaws we as a people have is our compassion. And our compassion is what trips us up every time. And we're told from little up by preachers and Sunday school teachers and so forth that we are to be tolerant because Christ was tolerant. But tolerance, in my mind, is really an act of satanic worship. And you see these images of Christ with arms stretched out and everybody welcome. Christ had big, wide-open arms. But in reality, you know, Christ's arms would be kind of brought together like it put together. I wish I could illustrate it here over the radio, but hands are very close together. The road to righteousness is a narrow road, not a wide road. And so this tolerance causes people to be able to or want to accept every kind of degeneracy or sin, maybe not so much say we're going to believe it, but we have to be tolerant of it. We can't judge people. Only God can judge. And so we become allowing these people to in our midst and thinking we can't be too judgmental against them because Christ was not judgmental. He was tolerant. And so this Laodicean church kind of is the same thing. It's a church that has welcomed a multicultural society. And the word Laodicean derives from that. And Laos, if I recall right, and I haven't discussed this in a while, so I may be flawed in some of the comments I'm going to make here right now, if you forgive me on that. But the word Laodicean literally means the Church of Human Rights. And it from Laos means people, and Laodicean means rights. And when you put them together, you get the Laodicean Church. I possibly could read a paragraph here out of my book if I could flip it to it in time here, but it's not necessary. But I think that the Laodicean Church is definitely the Church of Human Rights. It's what dominates our society today. Most churches are members of this one world church. They have embraced it wholeheartedly. They want to bring every person into the church thinking that that would make Jesus happy because that's what tolerant people do. The churches have signs, everybody welcome, and I joke sometimes that if we would put a sign up like in front of our church, we would be saying everybody's not welcome, and because we don't tolerate homosexuals and sodomites or non-whites into our church. And so I believe that we need to understand that this Laodicean church, a Judeo-Christian church, it dominates the society today. It's a one-world church. It has it dominates our media, dominates our and you know what? A lot of people look at the one-world church or the Church of Satan being something evil, and I think we make a flaw when we do that. The one-world church, while it certainly has the intent of being evil, it portrays itself not as evil. It portrays itself as being good and nice and wholesome, and that's why you get somebody on TV like Robert Morris, who has a very large following. He broadcasts in like 90 countries, and he's on 600 or 6,400 some radio stations across this country and in Europe. He has a huge, huge following. I think he has 9 campuses. Most of them are in Texas, but one I believe is going to put in Wyoming or North Dakota somewhere. And he's really a very nice man. If you watch him on TV, most of the stuff he says are things that people would agree with, and certainly not the part about our commitment to Israel, but most of the stuff is doctrinal stuff about Jesus Christ and his blood atonement and his born-again experience and the resurrection and the blood sacrifice, all things that as Christians we believe and accept and so on. And that causes most people to not be on guard. They're on guard. This is a nice man. He appears. Are we here radio again?
Yeah, I hear the music, Pastor. You can right. Hang on. We'll let you take back up as soon as we come back from this bottom of the hour. Break.
Proclaim. proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The White House is not endorsing a general ceasefire in the conflict between Israel and Hamas.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre emphasizing that message to reporters on Friday.
Now is not the time for a permanent ceasefire. We've been very clear. It would benefit Hamas, giving them time to regroup and plot a new attack. Or new attacks.
The Biden administration is, however, advocating for temporary humanitarian pauses in the fighting to facilitate the delivery of aid into Gaza and the release of hostages. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that he will not consider a pause in the fighting in Gaza unless Hamas releases the more than 200 hostages it currently holds captive. I'm John Schaefer.
Recent maps provide insight into the regions that will experience the heaviest snowfall this winter. Researchers at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have updated data on the areas most affected by El Nino, a natural weather pattern in the tropical Pacific. This encompasses the mid-Atlantic, elevated areas in the southwest in California, as well as the southern United States. President Biden is expressing his condolences for the victims of last month's mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine. Accompanied by the First Lady, he paid a visit to the memorial near the restaurant where the tragedy occurred.
This tragedy opens a painful, painful wound all across the country. Too many Americans have lost loved ones or survived the trauma of gun violence.
They met with first responders, healthcare providers, and some of the families. 18 were killed and 13 injured. Americans are preparing for the end of daylight saving time this weekend. On Sunday, clocks in most states across the U.S. will be set back 1 hour. While not everyone is pleased with this change, efforts to eliminate the time change through legislation in Congress have yet to make progress. This is USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure ground burgers are made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each pure ground burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Okay, welcome back to the Blood River Radio program for November 4th, 23. My name is Ryan Owens. I'm standing with my brother Eddie Miller while he's up in New York getting ready to run the New York Marathon tomorrow. I'm joined by Jason Robb, Michael Tubbs, and Pastor Thomas Robb. And having a discussion on Christian identity. One thing I wanted to mention real quick, I kind of had a brain lapse a while ago when I mentioned that AI and the leadership of America was all on how AI was so important for this, that, and the other. And one of the, I knew I was leaving off, and the main one was climate control. You know, they even want to control the climate. And they're looking to artificial intelligence to show them how to do that. But another thing I wanted to bring up, then we're going to go back to Pastor Robb, and then anybody can jump in, Jason, Michael, either one. You know, so many, most all mainstream churches are stand with Israel. And, of course, I'd like to point out that Israel is not a land, but as we all know here, Israel is a people. But if y'all want to try to ease into the modern day, what's going on over there, you got Russian leadership referring to the Israelis as Moloch, And then you've got a Netanyahu, and I say nut on purpose. You know, he's quoting Amalek to wipe out men, women, and children. And so, if you want to kind of take it in that direction, that we can, because I'm under the opinion, some of y'all may disagree with me, may not, I don't know. But if these Zionists aren't stopped, whether they're Christian Zionists, Jewish Zionists, if they're not stopped, eventually we're all going to be Palestinians. So anyway, go ahead, Pastor Ross.
Well, I guess we're talking about this here. I personally don't care one way or another about Palestinians or Jews over there. They're both our enemies. I'm not like favor the Palestinians against the Jews, or certainly don't support the Jews against the Palestinians. But I don't really care about either one of them. They're both our enemies, and so I sometimes see people in the white nationalist movement all going, raving, plotting the Arabs and Palestinians, and every time they make a strike against the Jews, and I really don't care. I don't just care about our people over here in America. I don't care about Arabs. I don't care about Palestinians. I don't care about Muslims. I don't care about Jews. I don't care about any of them over there. That's not my battle. Our battle here in America. And, pardon?
I'm sorry. I said, what about Russians?
What about Russia? Well, I mean, I kind of like Putin, but, I don't like the fact he's signed up with China now, so... I don't think Putin's necessarily our friend. I don't think he's necessarily our enemy. I compared him to the Democrat communist in this country. I guess I like Putin much better, and so on. But again, my concern with America and our people here, and I like a lot of what Putin does. I like the fact that he's very much against the LGBTQ and all the other degenerate alphabet letters of the alphabet that portrays these filthy people. He much, very much opposed to them over there in Russia, and he certainly has opened the doors to South Africans who are looking for a place to become refugees too. He's opened doors to them, and so I like a lot of what Putin is doing. But again, I don't really know what the answer is. I certainly don't think we need to get involved in a war. I don't think we need to put American soldiers over there in Europe for any reason, for any reason whatsoever. And I see these pictures on TV of these people come back from war without arms and legs and so on, and deformed faces. And what was that for? I recall back years ago, Kenneth Goff, you probably don't remember who he was, but he gave me an article, which I still have here in my library, published in some big magazine, where a Jewish rabbi says, when the blood flows, the money flows. And so it seems like there's a lot of money. Jews make a lot of money off of war. But they're not the only ones making money off of war. So a lot of white people make a lot of money off of war, too. So I'm a pacifist in that regard, but certainly not a pacifist to protect our country. I just don't think we should be involved in any type of foreign wars. I don't care who it's for.
And I will add on top of that is, we sometimes, especially with Judeo-Christians, they'll talk about, getting behind the Israelites, because they're fighting the Palestinians and the Arabs. And then, that for whatever reason, it doesn't matter how much money, how much billions of dollars, we just got to support them. And so people in generally are not interested in giving money to different countries, but then Israel is always the exception, it seems like. And they've kind of forgotten the idea that as a country, as America, we need to be protecting our own. We need protecting our own citizens, our own borders, and focus on that. You had mentioned the Palestinians, And no, the Jews, and even some of your so-called Christians, you know, here in the United States, you know, they're the ones that have been the ones that have been promoting all this immigration, non-white immigration, you know, since 1965 when the Immigration Act was changed that allowed all these non-whites, majority come from these different countries. And so now we have millions and millions of Arabs in the United States, and now they are obviously in a war, if you want to call it that, with the Jews here in the United States as a result of the immigration policies. And we see that in Europe and England, London, where it's a non-white city. And so people, I think, lose focus that, you know, as America, which was created and designed for white Christians, that should be our focus, and not on, you know, these other issues that really doesn't affect our people per se until they bring these non-whites into the United States, and that then that affects our race. But as far as over there right now, Israel and Palestinians, I mean, to me, it's like infidels are fighting infidels. I don't lose sleep thinking about that.
I would say that the Israelis are the only people on the planet that could get away with bombing and what's going on that Gaza Strip.
That's probably true. I mean, they do dominate the media. We know that for sure. So, you know, that's for sure, but that doesn't suddenly make the Palestinians good people. They are much our enemies as the Jews are, as just as much. And we can't lose focus on that. Those Arabs over here in this country, they don't love Christ. They don't love our institutions. They don't love our faith. They don't love America. So, you know, they have no allegiance to us in any way, shape, or form. And so, again, I think we need to be careful that we don't somehow fall into the trap of to the horn for Palestinians because they're happy against Jews. I mean, they're still our enemies. Don't lose track of that. The Palestinians are still our enemies too. Those Arabs are still our enemies. Remember the Crusades, you know, and so they're carrying the Crusades into this country. And we're going to see car bombings and other type of explosions going on here in this country as they wage a war against America. And I know he said, well, that's because we support the Jews. Well, yeah, there's probably a lot to that, but don't think the Arabs are Muslim enemies. I mean, they got defeated by Charles Martel when he tried to take over Europe. And so they don't like us either. So don't fool ourselves thinking they're our friends.
Yeah, Jason brought up about the immigration policies which the Jews were behind in this country, but again, they don't allow those same policies in their own country. I mean, they have strict immigration policies inside of the state of Israel, the Zionist state.
Yeah, I love these posters or that, you know, you see or, you know, on social media about, you know, we need more diversity in Israel, you know, because it's kind of like they always like to promote, you know, this agenda of diversity only in your white countries, but not in Israel themselves.
Hang on, folks. We'll be right back to the program.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Purple Pack on to the last segment of the second hour of the Blood River Radio program for November 4th. 2023. My name's Rand Owens. I'm sitting in for Brother Eddie Miller today while he's up, going to be running in the New York Marathon tomorrow. And I'd like to say once again, let's all keep Brother Eddie in our thoughts and prayers on his run as well as on his travels back home. All right, 15 minutes. I'm gonna ask a question or two, and then we can take it where we're going. Pastor Rob, or anybody that wants to elaborate or answer, since there's not many of us, so to speak, compared to the worldly churches, not many CI, what would be your suggestion for somebody in any particular area? Just say, you use me, for example, here in South Alabama, South Central Alabama, for starting a Christian identity Bible study or church, what would your recommendations be?
Well, you're going to get 1,000 answers from that one. So, first off, you got to consider, I guess what you're, in my mind, our approach to identity, our approach to the issues in America is somewhat different than the vast majority of identity churches. First off, I'll say, what is your focus? Is your focus to build a religion? Or your focus to reach people? If you want to build a religion, then you're going to have to figure out a bunch of doctrines. What are your doctrines? Are you going to be Calvinist? Are you going to believe in infant baptism? Are you going to believe in election? Are you going to believe in certain, whatever church doctrine you may be thinking, feast days, some churches want to do feast days, and are you going to have infant baptism, are you going to do communion once a month, four times every Sunday, are you going to do it, how are you going to do your baptism, I guess, we can have your Sabbath on Saturday, you can be on Sunday, you can use sacred name, so what are your doctrines, you're going to have all these doctrines, and say, all right, I'm going to build a religion, and here's my doctrine, now I've got to convince somebody of each of these points of doctrine. So I want to build that church. I've got to get somebody. I can't convince them that in this scenario I'm creating, I got to convince them the true Sabbath is Saturday. Then I got to convince them that they got to use a sacred name. Now I got to convince them that the right way to do communion, the right way to do baptism, and then you got a bunch of doctrines. And those doctrines can be very important to people, but some people may not quite see it that way. So how are you going to build your church? Are you going to build it by having a bunch of doctrine And we don't take that approach at all ourselves. We look at just the basic love your God, love your people. We have church here on Sunday, but sometimes I don't care. Saturday's fine to me. I don't care. I'm not going to argue with anybody over the sacred name or argue with most doctrines. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the deity. I believe in his resurrection. I believe in his blood atonement. I think those are important issues for us to have. But a lot of the church doctrines are, to me, are not really important. And yet people fight and squabble over them. They have all kinds of, that's why we have so many religions in the country, because people squabble over, well, we speak in tongues, we don't speak in tongues, whatever, you know. And, you know, when Christ talked to the lawyer that we mentioned earlier, he says about the love your God, you know, that's the greatest commandment, and love your people, second commandment. Then he said, on that hangs all the law and the prophets. Nothing else is important. So that's it. Love your God, love you. That's the only thing important. Do you eat pork? I don't eat pork, you know, but is it a moral sin? No, it's not a moral sin. I can't put eating pork, pig, in the same category as being a homosexual. So if somebody wants to come to our church and they want to eat pork, that's fine with me. I'm not going to break fellowship with them or tell them they can't come or give them lectures about it. You know, like some people might do. I'm not going to give a lecture to a guy. He's like, yeah, I like eating pig. Well, fine. I don't eat pig. I got trichinosis. I don't think it's good for you. And that's why Christ or the Bible said not to eat it. But it's not a moral sin. It's not like being a queer. You know, so we build our church around the concept of loving your God and loving your people. That's it. And we're not going to fuss about a bunch of doctrines. So you're going to build a church. What's your purpose? Is it build a religion with a bunch of doctrines, or just to embrace and love your people and point them to the way of salvation, of national salvation, is to, again, to love their people. In a scenario, because we do believe in evangelism. Now, some churches don't believe in evangelism. They believe, like Jason, I was discussing the other day when we were having lunch, some churches believe in denomination, or should say Christian identity, believe they're the remnant, and so they only care about the remnant, their own people, and trying to make themselves righteous by following a bunch of doctrines. But then again, following all these doctrines, the only thing that creates a bunch of self-righteousness and so on. So, and some identity people, well, they're the remnant. Well, so Jehovah's Witnesses think they're a remnant, and Seventh-day Adventists think they're a remnant, and lots of churches think they're the remnant. So that doesn't fly too much with me. So, well, you're the remnant. Well, I don't know, you know. So our position is evangelism, reaching out to people and building, following with that concept, because I'm not going to be able to convince everybody in the nation. If we think all these doctrines are important, I'm not going to convince everybody in the nation to accept all these doctrines before America can be saved. You know, you got to accept all these teachings. You got to have the right Sabbath, the right sacred name, and you got to have the right baptism. You have all that sort of stuff. You're not going to get all those people accept all those things. You have to have people be perfect people before the country can be saved. Of course not. But we can, conceivably, people can, within 24 hours, with their back up against the wall, what's going on in this country, can once again learn to love their God and love their people.
And I'll build on that. So when you got people, you know, like you were saying, Mr. Owen, you know, yourself or other people, you know, that's all throughout the United States, you know, they're trying to have, you know, maybe Bible studies and stuff like that. I think that's fantastic. But I think the focus also really needs to be really, you know, have that racial instinct. If they love their culture and they love their heritage and preserving who they are, then it's going to be easier for them to understand the Bible from a racial standpoint and understand Christian identity of who they are, and have that, you know, that connection. And so, you know, Bible studies, you know, with your, you know, first off with your family members, then maybe, you know, friends, listening to maybe a Christian identity, you know, show or something like that. But I think the main thing is getting people that have that racial instinct, that feeling of, you know, that they're proud of who they are and their people and their ancestors. Because if you have that, then it's going to be easier for them to understand racially who they are of those in the Bible.
So just to be clear, like Pastor Rob said, he said reach out to people, but we're actually talking about reaching out to people like us, white people.
Yes, our white people. Yeah, when we talk about people, we're talking about our racial white people.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you, I got a question. I know we've winded down. Got a few more minutes. Will people of all races have a chance to enter the kingdom of heaven? Pastor Rob.
Well, let me answer this way, okay? Whatever God decides, fine with me. But I don't feel any responsibility to go out and try to preach the gospel to non-whites. The covenant was made to Israel, the old covenant, as well as the new covenant, Hebrews, was made to one people, one specific people. If God wants to bless non-whites in some way or regard, I don't know. That's up to him. I'm not going to stand in his way. But as far as I'm concerned, the covenant was made to one specific people, and our responsibility is to reach out to our people, love our people, and preserve our heritage, and of course also our culture, but our heritage, and pass it on to our children. That's our obligation. That's our responsibility. And those are the sheep. Those are the sheep that Christ called us to go to. Those are the sheep that Christ talked with when after the resurrection, and when Christ is up there on the seashore and those disciples out there in the water catching fish and trying to catch fish, and then they see Christ up there, and Peter jumps out of the boat, swims to the shore, and Christ is fixing some fish over a fire, and all out of blue, Christ says to Peter, he says, "Do you love me?" I probably totally flabbergasted Peter, probably had no idea, where did this come from? You know, where did this come from? And he said, "Well, yes, I love you." And then he said, "To feed my sheep." And then wait a minute again, he said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Well, I just told you I love you, to feed my sheep." And he asked him a third time. And so how do we demonstrate our love to Christ? By feeding the sheep. And who are the sheep? The sheep are Israel. That's how we show our love for Jesus. Not by doing some type of ritual at church or observing some certain feast day or worshiping a certain day. Or, you know, he doesn't say, if you love me, make sure you get the Sabbath right. If you love me, make sure you get my sacred name right. If you love me, make sure you get the feast days right. If you love me, make sure you get baptism right. If you love me, make sure you get whatever doctrine the churches may have. And a lot of identity churches get stuck in this. They think they got to teach all these different doctrines to people. And that's fine if you want to build a religion. But Christ said, if you love me, feed my sheep. And you feed the sheep by Lord, let them know that they have a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. And that covenant lasts as long as the sun and the moon and the stars are in the heavens. And that's where our mission is at.
I love that answer, Pastor Rob. I love that answer. Michael, do you want to comment? We got just a minute or two left. You want to say anything to Pastor Rob or Jason before we have to let them go?
You asked about forming a church. The scriptures command us to be priests and kings of our own homes, and I think it all starts there with your own family. If you can't properly lead your own family, you can't properly lead anybody else in your community, your friends and your co-workers, and et cetera. I'm not a good Christian. I'm the best Christian that I can be, but I've always tried to be an example of what I want to be. And, people come back to me years later that I haven't been in contact with for a long time, and they tell me, you really taught me a lot. And it didn't register with them at first, but as they went through life, they found that what I was teaching them was right, and they wanted to know more, and they did find out more. And so be a king, be a priest in your own home and amongst the people that you work with, that you associate with, and you're building a church every day by your example.
Very good. Hang on, Michael. Pastor Rob, Jason, I've really enjoyed. I appreciate y'all coming on, being with us, and maybe Brother Hickey will let us do it again sometime real soon. Hang on, people. We're going to the
stop our break, and then we're going to see the last, third and last hour of Blood River Radio program is turned.